Wilmington is the biggest city in Delaware, but it has no traditional public high school. Despite a bunch of civil rights lawsuits and a busing program, 2,000 of the city's poorest kids are sent as many as 15 miles to underperforming schools in the suburbs. Most of the kids are Black and Latino. Meanwhile, kids from the suburbs, mostly white, come into the city to get a top-tier education inside of what used to be Wilmington High School. Why did efforts to integrate public schools end up resegregating the schools instead? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. I spoke to Mark Eichmann and Chris Barish of WHYY's Delaware Desk. Their documentary, Where is Wilmington High, explores this question. Chris told me about the history of segregation in Delaware.
Until the middle of the 20th century, Delaware law mandated that schools be, quote, of two kinds, those for white children and those for color children. That was the law. There were special schools in different areas that Black kids went to. And in Wilmington, the Black kids went to high school at Howard High School. The white kids went to high school in P.S. DuPont or Wilmington High School, depending on where they lived. And that was the way it was till the Brown v. Board decision came.
On May 17, this court ruled unanimously that segregation in public schools was not legal. Equal justice under the law.
So, Mark, tell me about when Wilmington High was integrated.
Wilmington High was integrated along with all the other Delaware schools following the Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court decision. Delaware was actually one of the five cases that made up the Brown versus Board of Education, that landmark ruling. And so Wilmington High was integrated and was a fairly diverse place. In 1965, that's when Rick and Tina Betts met at Wilmington High, and we had a chance to speak with them and talk about their relationship and growing up.
Obey, boom, 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 dear old, I will be loyal to the standard.
I used to know this part.
Thou hast given us.
We'll be faithful to the vision. Which thou hast made us see.
Take it away, Tina.
I don't know the rest.
Back then, Wilmington High was a fairly diverse place, roughly 50-50 white students and students of color. And they really enjoyed that camaraderie with people that were like them and people that weren't like them.
That was something that we were very proud about. Many of the neighborhoods were mixed. So, yeah, it was a mixed school, got along extremely well.
We caught up with the class of 1969, which is when the Bettses graduated. Chuck Hayward was the student body president, and he talked about how that integrated school really worked and how they got along.
You know, one of the things that I think that made us successful, we had all kind of grown up together.
And how they kept some of the civil unrest that was happening in other parts of the city outside of the school.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed.
But Tina Betts says the real turning point in that came in 1968 after the assassination of Martin Luther King.
You know, when the riots all around the city and the country started after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and then there were some things that bubbled up from under the surface.
Chris, what happened in Wilmington then?
Buildings were set on fire. There was unrest in the streets. The governor called out the National Guard, and the National Guard stayed on Wilmington streets for 9 months. But it helped trigger, along with the boom of suburban building, white flight from the city. In 1950, for example, Wilmington was 15% Black. By 1970, it was 44% Black. Within two years of the riots. Today, it's 58% Black.
What kind of impact did that have on the Wilmington School District?
Well, the first thing it did was it shrunk the tax base to support the schools. So the schools had less resources, and as more of the white families moved to the suburbs, the city schools became almost entirely Black. All three high schools So, you know, they were almost resegregated despite all the efforts of Brown v. Board to integrate the schools. There were families in Wilmington that sued about this, about having schools that didn't have equal resources and weren't racially diverse. And in 1978, a federal judge ordered busing of city students to suburban, mostly white schools for the majority of their K through 12 years, and ordered suburban kids into Wilmington schools for just a few of their 12 years. And what they also did, which was really significant, they closed P.S. DuPont High School and turned it into an elementary school. They turned Howard High School into a vo-tech school. So that left Wilmington with only one traditional public school, which was Wilmington High, and it had just a smaller population of kids.
And that really had the effect of making nobody happy. The black parents from the city weren't happy that their kids were being bused for over an hour, maybe some days, out of the city to go to school. And then the white families weren't happy with their students going to Wilmington, which they saw as a dangerous place. Or some of them were really protesting the idea of these black children moving into our suburban school.
And, you know, that was the beginning of the end for public high schools in Wilmington.
When we come back,
I mean, we all live around each other, but we don't know each other. Why? Because we're all going to different schools. We're all being spread out.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Mark Eichmann and Chris Barish about why school busing in Delaware failed to integrate the schools. What does education look like now in Wilmington after the busing program?
Well, you have a lot of the students from Wilmington being bused to schools in the suburbs, becoming more and more predominantly African American, and those schools are mostly low performing. It's almost like it's resegregated, but just changed the geography. In the city of Wilmington, you have the old Wilmington High, which shut down in 1999 because of low enrollment, because these kids were being bused out. What moves into that building are two high-performing charter schools, the Charter School of Wilmington, focusing on math and science, and Cab Calloway School of the Arts, focusing on arts education, dance, digital media. And those schools are predominantly white.
How do you get in to those schools? Do you have to test in?
You have to audition. Those schools are selective in who they take, and they can reject kids. Tatiana Palatko runs the Teen Sharp program that helps children of color get into elite colleges. And she says, look, these schools are not serving the city child.
If Charter School of Wilmington and Cab Calloway had the same results and they were serving the city child, African-American, Latino child, low-income child, the hat would go down to them. But right now, to me, what I'm seeing is that they are picking kids who have had access to excellent education at elementary and middle school level.
There are some Wilmington students, though.
This school made me who I am. Who knows who they are at 12 years old? And here I am now, 18, 19, and I'm who I am. I'm going to college.
There's kids like Rodney Woodland, who goes to Cab Calloway School of the Arts, and he's an artist, and he's thriving there. So there are some successes. There's just not as many as there probably should be for kids who live in the city at Cab Calloway.
A lot of the kids at these schools are well aware of the disparity and the strange, sort of a bizarre situation they're in. One is Neha Das. She's Asian, like about 30% of Charter's population, and she lives in an affluent suburb.
Charter has almost created a bubble around itself. Even though I conform to it, I see that there's definitely a flaw in what I'm doing and what I'm engaging in, but me and other students similar to myself are just trying their best to succeed in the system that we were given.
Is there anyone calling for changes that would make the schools more integrated?
Yeah, Mayor Mike Perzycki is one of those, and he's in a kind of unique position as the mayor of Wilmington. He has zero say over educational policy. That's all done at the state and district level. But he is advocating for a better way to educate Wilmington students.
I really believe in the end that a well-run, well-financed Wilmington High School is going to be better for everybody.
Because the effect of all of this has been to really divide the city up, not just in where the kids are going to school, but divide neighborhoods up where you can't ask the neighbor across the street sometimes, well, what was the homework for this class?
I mean, we all live around each other, but we don't know each other. Why? Because we're all going to different schools. We're all being spread out. And then definitely you build the community.
Right now, there's a legislatively created group called the Reading Consortium that's studying ways to improve educational outcomes in northern Newcastle County and specifically Wilmington. And it's headed by Senator Tizzy Lockman. And she says it's worth considering having a public traditional high school.
Personally, do I think we should have a high school? Let's find out. I mean, we have high schools. We have high schools that don't welcome all students. So to have one could potentially be a great asset to the city of Wilmington.
A new Wilmington high school would also almost by definition be a segregated high school because of the population numbers, with almost 60% of the city's population being African American. And then if you add the Latinx numbers in, it's almost 7 out of 10.
And so the resistance to resegregation is what's basically kept this situation in place today.
That's sort of one of those hard nuts to crack in this whole complicated issue of how do you fix that? You know, not a rich place. The tax base is not flowing with cash. And that's still the problem you have. So then you look at maybe is a different funding formula need to be addressed. The kids in Wilmington have higher needs. They've experienced trauma. Some of them are English language learners. You know, they come from high poverty homes and don't have the supports that kids in the suburbs have. So then does the state need to fund that school at a higher level because of the challenges that the students face?
Chris, Mark, thank you so much for coming in today, all the way from Delaware. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Mark Eichmann and Chris Barish from WHYY's Delaware Desk. Their documentary, Where is Wilmington High?, airs Friday at 7:30 on WHYY-TV. The Y is produced by Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help for this episode from Eugene Son. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Annette John Hall.